I'm not a perfectionist
Okay.
because perfectionism is the enemy of progress.
Okay.
Because if you're waiting to get all your ducks perfectly lined up in a straight line
Yes.
and in a row,
Yeah.
it's likely never going to happen. But I like to pay attention to detail.
Detail.
Yes, because my mother raised me to believe the devil is in the detail. So you better learn to see where it
Yes.
is and kick the. Sh I can't even say that. Kick it out.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another beautiful episode of The Billionaire Habit with me, Stephen McIntyre. And today I have a very, very special guest. Her story is so inspiring. We have, ladies and gentlemen, Nike
Adenike
Ogunlesi.
Ogunlesi.
Adenike. Nike. So you're particular about the
I
Adenike.
am.
Why?
I am. Because that's what makes me special. My name is Adenike. It's not Nike.
It's not Nike.
No, my name is
So you're
Adenike.
not one of
This
those who
is a
just.
crown that
Yes.
needs to be loved and cherished. That's my name.
So I notice you're very, very detailed, with a lot of things. You're probably a perfectionist. Am I correct?
I'm not a perfectionist
Okay.
because perfectionism is the enemy of progress.
Okay.
Because if you're waiting to get all your ducks perfectly lined up in a straight line
Yes.
and in a row,
Yeah.
it's likely never going to happen. But I like to pay attention to detail.
Detail.
Yes, because my mother raised me to believe the devil is in the detail. So you better learn to see where it
Yes.
is and kick the. Sh I can't even say that. Kick it out. Kick it out of the place. So
Yes.
I'm not. I don't consider myself a perfectionist,
Yes.
but I consider myself a woman of excellence. I like excellence.
Who
I'm
was your
particular.
mother like?
My mother was of Scottish birth
Oh,
and
okay.
origin.
Okay.
Married my father in the early 1960s, and came to Nigeria holding me on a boat. I
Wow.
think it was called the something Dempster. In those days,
Wow.
my parents met in Oxford.
Wow.
My father was a medical doctor, and my mother was the director of the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford.
Okay.
So that's where they met
Wow.
and had me. So my mother was a deeply spiritual woman, not a church-going, Bible-carrying kind of spiritual woman.
Yeah.
A spiritual woman in the sense of humanitarian,
Okay.
humanity.
Yeah.
She understood the needs of human beings. And she was very caring, very loving, very focused, very dynamic woman.
Wow.
Yeah, very
Wow.
dynamic woman.
How about your dad?
My dad was a specialist physician, a medical doctor, a lot
Okay.
of brain, no heart, but a lot of brain. Yeah. So,
So what was your childhood like?
oh, my childhood was fun in
Okay.
many cases.
Was it Nigeria?
Oh, yes. I
Okay.
grew up in Ijebu Ode.
Wow.
Yes, I
Wow.
grew up in the GRA in Ijebu Ode. My father was the
Wow.
medical director of the General Hospital at the time. They had
Okay.
just come back from o Oxford.
Yeah.
And my father did not want to live in Lagos. He believed that all the training that he had was to go back to base to support the people that he grew up with.
Yeah, I think their generation was like that,
Yes, they were
always.
very principled like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's where I grew up. My childhood was fun, climbing trees, turning up stones, finding scorpions, running away, chasing them, roasting a susu or whatever that thing is called,
Wow.
digging the ground for crickets. So I
Wow.
grew up literally wild and free. So that's one part of it. The other part is a lot of dysfunction because of polygamy and all those kind of things. So those things, life is yin, life is yang.
Yes.
Life is positive, life is negative.
Yes.
It's now how you bring the two together to
Yeah.
emerge
Yes.
as this unique being that God has
Yes.
created that is
Yeah.
important. But all those experiences shape who I am. So it's unfair to tell the story from one perspective.
Yes.
It's always better to because there might be
Holistic.
somebody out there
Yes, who is
who's
also
going
going
through
through that.
that. So they can see that,
Yeah.
it's a temporary situation. you know. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
For people, because I love that we're touching on the polygamy, the people who want to blame the fact that they are not making it in life on polygamy, is that a valid, legitimate excuse?
It's only as valid and legitimate as you allow yourself to believe.
Mm.
But I say this, and I'm going to say it in Yoruba.
Yeah.
What be me, what tura me be.
Mm.
And that for me is what being born again means.
Man.
So you have been given birth to, yes, by your biological parents.
Yes.
Now you have the creative power,
mm,
that is a gift given to each individual,
mm-hmm,
each,
mm-hmm,
human being possesses, yes, it, to go through a rebirth.
Come on.
Deciding who you,
yes,
want to be, mm-hmm, and how you want to show up in the world. Mm-hmm. And that has nothing to do with your parents.
Mm.
You have to drop the blame game.
Yeah.
And for some people, it is extremely difficult and extremely traumatic. But you have to find that place and pray for grace,
yeah,
that enables you to forgive,
mm-hmm,
because therein lies your freedom.
Mm.
Once you are able to let go,
yes,
and forgive,
yeah,
there is something that is deeply spiritual that overcomes you,
yeah,
and you find you can define yourself in a new light.
Powerful.
And you can actually follow a path by just putting one foot in front of the other. You may not know the destination, yes, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's that movement of, first of all, articulating how you want to show up.
Yes.
So who inspires you?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you admire?
Yeah.
Whose values inspire you, mm-hmm, is really what I should be saying.
Yes.
Whose values inspire you,
yeah,
you know, or and you want to emulate that person, the way they live their lives,
yes,
the way they conduct business,
yeah,
the way they treat people,
mm-hmm,
you know, the way they manage their relationships,
sure,
the way they, every time you see them, they have grown,
mm,
you know, because, mm, personal growth is a value.
Absolutely.
For them.
Absolutely.
So they invest in themselves,
yeah,
you know. So you have that gift to sit down and literally draw up a profile and draw up the values that you want to play out in your life, that want to represent the person that you want to show up as. What are those values?
Yeah.
And what are the pillars of life that are important to you?
Yeah.
Because wherever you place your attention, you're going to find you're going to give it a lot of, mm, energy.
Mm.
So where is your attention? What are you thinking about, mm, in this whole process of defining your life,
mm,
and really, I'm looking for the right word I want to say, because what I find is that people can live their lives by default,
yeah,
or by design.
Mm.
And I feel that every human being has the capacity to live a life by design.
Powerful.
So the intention, you're very intentional and you're very deliberate,
yeah,
about drawing up this picture,
yes,
and then creating mental images,
yes,
and then working on yourself to build that character.
Wow.
Because your character is ultimately your destiny.
True.
Your thinking is ultimately your destiny. So who do you want to be?
Mm.
How do you want to show up?
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you.
Yeah. What was the biggest forgiveness you had to or experience, or who did you have to, that you said this was the most painful?
It would be my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be my dad.
You sense it.
Yeah, it would be my dad. But, you know, I'm glad I found forgiveness for him before he passed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I learned to love him, understanding, yeah, his limitations.
Yeah.
But it took me growing,
mm,
as a person,
mm,
to be able to release myself of that pain.
Yes.
To release myself,
yes,
to embrace the kind of life I then want.
Yes.
You know, having defined it.
Wow. Are you related to the popular Ogulesi who owns Gatwick Airport?
No, we're not. They are from Ikperu. Okay. They are from Shagamu. We are from Ikperu. Yeah, so the expressway divides our villages, so to speak. But we're not related.
Wow.
But much respect and admiration for him.
For him.
Yeah.
I mean, so what brought you to limelight, at least, is Rough and Tumble. A lot of people talk about you founding and starting Rough and Tumble. Was it by accident? Was it by design? How did this whole thing?
So, my early life,
yes,
as I like to call it, my 20s, my late teens and my early 20s, was working with my mother, who already made women's clothing and men's clothing.
Okay.
And so I decided I didn't want to be a lawyer and left university and didn't know what I wanted to do.
Before graduation?
Before graduation. I left it, 3 months I left. Yeah, well.
That's it.
It's one of those things. And I came home and I didn't know what I wanted to do. But my mother, an amazing woman, just said, it's okay. You know what? While you're trying to find what it is you want to do, you will join me and get up every morning and come to work with me. Every morning. And I didn't have a choice. My father, on the other hand, screaming and shouting in Jebuman that... If I don't have a degree, I have to have a degree. All hell is going to break loose. But I was I was very strong-willed.
Mentally rebellious is the word.
I wasn't rebellious. You can say that now. But I like to think of myself as being very strong-willed, yes, because I also then apply that,
yes,
to the different areas of my life.
Absolutely.
You know, because it's also a strength.
Yes.
mentally rebellious.
I consider myself mentally rebellious. Because people who, I don't know what is strong-willed, right? It's not physical.
No, it is.
But it's strong mental, you know, will and... Is the way I would do it.
So what I call it now, actually, is mental capital.
Oh,
because, mental capital. Yes, it's mental capital.
I like that.
Because it can see you through. It's what builds your resilience.
Yes.
It's what builds your determination, your perseverance.
True.
It's what builds your commitment,
true,
you know.
True.
It's what builds your determination.
Yes.
It's your mental capital that builds those things. It's what creates your ideas.
Yes.
You know, it's what creates the vision,
true,
your imagination.
Sure.
Big is what makes you audacious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for me, it's not rebellion. I think I prefer mental capital.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I will go with mental capital.
Yeah, I think it's mental capital. You know,
so yeah, you were your dad, and then your mom said you should come and join.
Yeah, so I joined my mom. I started working with my mom, and I moved her business from it being Adire and Ankara. I started to travel. I started to buy nicer fabrics from Switzerland.
Wow.
You know, I dressed people like Mrs. Adelike of Tate and Lyle. They were women that were much older than me. Chief Mrs. Nike Akonde, Mrs. Okoli, women who owned their business at the time. And those women inspired me greatly.
I can imagine.
And they were really a force.
Wow.
And they were really very inspiring. They were committed, they were dedicated, and they are actually the women that we all stand on.
Wow.
Their shoulders are the shoulders that we all stand on right now.
Wow.
You know, they enabled me see a path that I could also be way more than I thought I could be,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me was priceless.
Yeah.
So I was exposed to those kind of women. Mm-hmm. They had their, they were financially self-sufficient.
Yes.
You know, and I think that was such a beautiful
thing,
because my mother always says that financial sufficiency for a woman is never negotiable.
Mm.
Yeah, because that's what gives you options in your life. So I then got married and I had 3 small children.
Wow.
And these women are extremely demanding. This was 25.
Wow.
So they were very, very demanding. And because of where I was coming from, my goal was to have a marriage that I was friends with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I had a relationship with my children.
Mm-hmm.
And that I got on with my in-laws,
mm-hmm,
you know, and that my extended family, I would get on with everybody.
Yeah.
You know. And that took a lot of work.
Mm.
So trying to run a business, trying to be present for my children, yes. trying to be a present wife.
Yes.
They were new roles for me.
Wow.
So what I then decided to do was to give work a break for like 3 years.
Wow.
And in the space of that 3 years, I didn't actually decide it would be 3 years. Mm-hmm. But by the third year, I was bored. it was fun being a mother baking cakes in the morning.
Yes.
And all that. Yeah. But I believed I was built for more.
Wow.
And I had to find a way to still be able to do some of those things.
Yes.
But at the same time, give myself the permission to come into the fullness of who
yeah.
I was destined to be.
Yeah.
Because motherhood is a role.
It is.
Being a wife is a role.
Yes.
So what is the core and essence of me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how does that find expression in the world?
Yes.
So that I can be a good mother mm-hmm. and I can be a good wife because yes. I have self-fulfillment.
Come on.
You know? And those things were very important to me
yeah.
At the time. So I decided, I love doing interiors. I didn't want to go back to sewing clothes for women. Bust, waist, hips, issues. I was done with it,
yes.
you know. But I had all the equipment. I had the skeletal stuff.
Yeah.
Because I was still sort of like in a transition
mm-hmm.
Where I wasn't sure of what I wanted to do. So I thought, I love interiors. I love gardening. I love interiors. I love creating beautiful spaces. And so I thought, okay, let me try. So I did up a portfolio, did up everything. And then I went to somebody said, okay, come and see me. I sat outside waiting for the person for 3 hours. I said, you are a jobless human being. Why would I be sitting outside your office waiting for you for 3 hours? First of all, it's unprofessional.
Yeah.
It's disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
I should not sit outside you.
And you have mental capital.
Yes. Plenty of mental capital. So don't waste my time. You know. And that happened like 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? Nah. This is not for me.
Yeah.
So I went back. And I thought, okay, so how's this going to go? And so I just retreated into myself and just went down my spiritual path and said, you know what I want? I said to God, I said, you're going to give me work that people are going to come and look for me.
Wow.
I'm not going to look for anybody.
Wow.
People will look for me and I will build a reputation that will make people look for me. And how I was going to do that, I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, but the fascinating thing about the human mind and the human subconscious is if you have a plan and if you have clarity in terms of what you see,
exactly,
it's amazing how things just begin to open up for you, you know. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly my neighbor then says to me that we were having that conversation earlier.
Yes.
And Mrs. Bemi Shashore, she then says to me that she's having this thing called a teddy bear festival.
Yeah.
I said, oh, baby, you and your fizzy, what's all this? I don't think we called it a fizzy then. We just called you and your ajabota behavior.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What is all this about a teddy bear festival? Oh, children are going to bring their old teddy bears and we're going to see whose teddy bear is the oldest. I said, so is that a thing? She said, yes, it is. Okay, all right. But she's going to sell stalls.
Yes.
And she's looking for somebody to make children's clothes in Ankara and Adire.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, you're looking at the person. Because I still had a skeletal staff.
Yes.
I had 3 small children.
Yeah.
And in saying to her, you're looking at the person.
Yes.
I knew immediately, that's where I'm going.
Wow.
Did I have a name for it? I had no name for it. She subsequently asked me,
yeah.
What name do you want me to put on the canopy? I said to her, I don't know. She said, you haven't thought about it. I said, I know. What kind of clothes are you going to make? Playful. Children are going to rough around. Like children can rough around it.
Yeah.
She said, I would draw a drum with children tumbling out of this drum.
Wow.
And I said, right there outside her kitchen door.
Rough.
And tumble.
And tumble.
That's the name you're going to write. And we had no logo. So we just wrote it as rough and tumble.
Wow.
And that was it.
Did you put the N or you put the A-N-D?
I can't even remember whether I put the A-N-D or whether I put the N at that time with the apostrophe.
Yes.
But honestly, that's how Rough and Tumble was founded, right outside her kitchen door. No consultants, nothing.
Wow.
That's all. No focus group, no will it work, will it not work, you know. And honestly, the rest is history from there.
Yeah.
Because from that teddy bear festival, I took about 110,000 naira's worth of clothes.
Wow.
We're talking 1994, 1995.
Wow.
You know how much 100,000 naira was then?
It was a lot of money.
It was a lot of money.
Yes.
It was a lot of money.
Like almost 100 million now.
And we sold 90 something thousand naira's worth of clothes. Wow. I just looked at my husband that day and said, I found the business I want to do. There's no need to waste time.
Wow.
I'm not doing anything else. I'm just going to go back into my workshop, restructure it.
And it'll be for kids.
And it will be for children. And I will stick to children. So, you know, he just said to me, my husband is one of the most encouraging human beings that walked the planet Earth.
Wow.
You know, he's an incredible man. And he said to me, Ade Ogunlesi, he said, why don't you take the children's clothes and take them apart and see how they were made?
Wow.
So you can do more than just pajamas, because I just started with pajamas. And it was my husband that encouraged me to do, you know, to do other things. Because I didn't actually have technical training in that.
Yeah.
So
except for what you were doing with your mom.
Yes. Taking all those children's clothes apart then helped me see how they were constructed. And you know, and the lesson really from this is, you know, that wherever you are, there's something that you can use that can take you to the next level of where you want to go.
Yeah.
But the prayer always should be that you're, you know, I used to say, Lord, open my eyes that I may see, you know, because it's there and you may never see it, but it's there.
Yeah.
So I think the gift of seeing, the gift of hearing, and the gift of listening, they are such valuable gifts to harness within oneself is really important.
Wow.
Well, I find it important.
At what point did the concept of supermarket or stores, you know, did you evolve into that?
It's a great question because really all I wanted to do was produce.
Mm-hmm.
I am what is called a hyper creative.
Mm.
So I like to be in a space where I am left alone to give and find expression to create whatever it is that I want to create.
Yes.
And you know, I used to tell people that fabrics used to talk to me and they used to think I had a few screws loose. But I used to say, the fabric would literally say, take me home.
Wow.
You know, and I would take the fabric home and then sit down and say, now what can I use you for? And what I would use it for, it would come.
Wow.
You know, in that space. But I realized that I needed outlets, that I couldn't go to all the bazaars, because I went to every single bazaar. I said, my children, my coolers with water and some food for my kids.
Yeah.
My mother would join us and my husband would come later.
Wow.
The American Women's Bazaar, the Lebanese Women's Bazaar, the Church Bazaar, the British, I was there.
Wow.
But it wasn't a sustainable model.
Yes, it was.
So I then said, okay, let me see who has supermarkets.
Mm.
And the biggest supermarket at the time was Park and Shop.
Okay.
But Park and Shop did not understand my vision.
Yeah.
They couldn't run with my vision.
Wow.
And so I left them and opened my own very first small shop that was probably the size of this studio.
Really?
Yes.
The first Rough and Tumble.
Probably the size of this studio.
Wow.
You know,
and it's good people hear this, because a lot of people want to start with big.
No, and this is where I'm going to say you should show the images that I wanted to share with
yes,
you.
Yes.
So the first image is where I actually started and made the clothes, which was in Mende.
Wow.
Where I titled Despise Not Your Humble Beginning. Because you have to learn to use what you have where you are.
Yes.
People look outward. No. Look inward.
Come on.
Begin Come inward. On. Begin from the Come inside.
Yes.
So what do I have? What do I need?
Yeah.
What I have, where will it take me?
Yeah.
How can it take me? This forces you to think, forces you to strategize, forces you to learn to use what you have and look inward rather than look outward.
Yes.
Yeah. So I believe that you begin from a place of a deep insights from within you to know where it is that you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. And you'll find the first image is of Mende.
Mm-hmm.
The second image is the beginning of the first retail store, which literally is the size of this,
wow,
of this room. And the third image is me taking a whole building in GRA, to sell children's clothes.
Wow.
And I remember people saying to me that I must be mad. who is going to buy children's clothes? First of all, I was told, who's going to buy children's clothes that are made in Nigeria?
Yes.
And you know, that irked me.
Yeah.
Because apart from anything else, you that you're talking to me, you're made in Nigeria.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's your problem? And what exactly is your point? And what's wrong with made in Nigeria?
Yeah.
You know, we must release ourselves of the colonial shackles,
yes,
mental shackles,
mm-hmm,
that says that if it is made in Nigeria, it's, yes, not good enough.
Yes,
it's a few. We've come a long way from there, from,
yeah,
that now.
Yeah.
You know, we've come a long, yeah, way from, yeah, that, and I am truly grateful.
Our food,
culture, everything. Yeah. You know, and that for me is a big win.
Yeah.
You know, so I took this whole building in GRA, and it's so funny how it happened. The building was there all the time; it was empty, and I never saw it. And you know, there are people who speak into your life, and that's why I say the power and ability to hear and listen, mm-hmm, is key.
Mm.
It's part of you developing, mm, yourself,
yes,
and your what I call your spiritual antenna.
Mm.
And it has nothing to do with going to church,
mm-hmm,
or saying I'm waiting on God and all that story that we were talking.
We'll soon get there.
We were talking about
we'll
earlier.
We'll soon get there.
It has nothing to do with that, you know. And I went to, one of the things I did, and one of my strong beliefs is that you must never stop learning.
Mm-hmm.
Till you die, you must be learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I signed up in the Lagos Business School because I really had no idea on how to run a business,
yeah,
really, you know. So I went into Lagos Business School and was doing a lot of courses.
You finally got a degree?
No, I still, up to this very second, I don't have a university degree, but I have a life degree.
Come on.
From the University of Life.
Come on.
Yes. So, and if you ask me, that is far more useful to me.
Absolutely.
Than the other, yes, the other one. Yes. So I never went back. I went to University of Life.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. From 18.
Wow.
So
mental capital.
Yes.
Don't forget that.
So I never went back.
Yes.
I've lost my train of thought now. Where were we going?
So you went to Lagos Business School.
So I went to Lagos Business School. Yes. And that day, Dr. Franca Ovajay, she was the lecturer. And she said, are you going to be that small shop or that small store that stays the same? And all the children in the neighborhood go to university and come back.
Wow.
And nothing about you has changed.
Wow.
You know, it was as if,
wow,
somebody hit me with a 10-ton truck.
Wow.
She spoke right down into my soul.
Wow.
And that day, when I was going back to the store, I always look to the right because the store is on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I've been away from it.
Yes.
I've learned something.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to come and,
yes,
well, anxious is not the right word. I'm eager,
eager,
you know, and excited,
yes,
to come and see how I can, you,
yeah,
know,
turn
it execute around. my learnings.
Yeah.
And today I looked left.
Wow.
And I saw to let.
Wow.
And I called the number. I was just sitting in the car. I called the number. And I said, I want to rent the place. And I did. And I moved literally across the road from this size,
yes,
to a whole house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's how it happened.
Wow.
And you see the house. It's again in the image is there.
Yes.
And then to the next level, it's the last picture.
Mm. But at what point? Because I always, if there is a conference I have to bring you to speak, I hope the time will work. And it's called the Business Growth Masterclass in April. I really want to push that conversation. I realize that businesses start like that, but never really, it's like they're at a level. Some people just over between, example, let's say 500 million to 700 million, and they've been like that for 7 years. Never really grew to begin to do transaction in billions. At what point did you break through, and what were the ingredients that helped?
I think, first of all, my mental capital.
Yes.
The audacity.
We're titling this episode Mental Capital.
My audacity to believe that I was made for more.
Yeah.
And that this couldn't be the limit.
Mm-hmm.
No, it can't be.
Mm.
There's more.
Yeah.
And meeting the right kind of people
mm-hmm.
who encourage you.
Yeah.
And tell you that it is possible, or reinforce your belief that it is possible.
Yeah.
And I was driven, you know, and I really wanted to do it. I was telling somebody the other day that it's only now in my 60s I realized that part of the things that drove me so strongly as a young woman was because I wanted to be a star child for my mother.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, you know, but it was a good feeling.
How many were you guys?
Well, from my mother, we were four.
Okay.
But I have siblings that are older than me that I'm very close to that were raised by my mother.
I mean,
very,
very close. Four.
I will just round it up and tell you that we were, for my mother, I'm the only daughter, biological daughter, but I have a sister, an older sister who I'm very close to.
Wow.
She was from my father's first marriage, but he was widowed when he married my mom.
Okay.
So I'm very close to my
my
siblings because we grew up together.
I see why you want to be the star child, you know.
So, but it was for my mom.
Yes.
It was to validate, the life she had had in Nigeria.
My mom. Okay.
So I'm very close to my
my
siblings because we grew up together.
I see why you want to be the star child, you know.
So, but it was for my mom.
Yes.
It was to validate, the life she had had in Nigeria. Yes. It was really to validate my mother. But, I felt it was a good thing to do. And it drove me to want to be more and to always believe that I could be more.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of it is also learning, putting myself putting myself in the middle of Lagos Business School, surrounding myself with the kind of books that strengthen me mentally and build mental capacity for me to believe that my ideas were valid.
Mm-hmm.
I could build systems
and
processes that would support the ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came up with these pillars.
Okay.
There is the first pillar is the product.
Okay.
Yeah. Define the product.
Mm-hmm.
What is the product?
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing is, who is it for?
Mm.
In defining the product, you define the functionality of the product, what it serves,
exactly,
how it fulfills or serves whoever is then the customer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So who is the customer?
Yeah.
In the case of Rough and Tumble, we have the customer and we have the consumer.
Mm.
The parents are the customers.
Yeah.
The children are the consumers.
Yeah.
So who are they? Who is this product for?
Yeah.
It is for an audience that understands quality and loves their children enough to pay for the quality.
Powerful.
And I'm unapologetic about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can buy cheap clothes a dime a dozen in the market.
Mm.
But not everybody wants to wear cheap clothes.
True.
Some people feel their children are so special. They're such a gift that they simply just want to give them the best of what they didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So what are those emotional connections that you build between the product and the customer and the consumer?
Powerful.
Now, you do that, then is your people. You can't scale a business without people.
Mm.
And the business is about people.
Yes.
Full stop.
Period.
The right people doing the right things
yeah.
at the right time, moving the machine forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a difficult thing to achieve because people come and people go.
Yeah.
People come and people go. And it can be extremely frustrating that you invest in people, you train them, you change their perspectives of life, and then they resign and they go.
Oh.
Yeah. But what I believe is, in the process of all these ups and downs and adversity, what kind of leader do you want to be?
Mm.
And coming to a place where you define the kind of leader that you want to be, whether you want to trust, You can't scale a business without trust.
Yes.
You can't scale a business without accountability.
Yes.
You can't scale a business without responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, making the people you put in charge accountable.
Accountable, exactly.
Them taking ownership and owning and becoming responsible for the outcomes that they will have.
Absolutely.
Now, for you to be able to do that, you need systems and processes that have to be in place that will guide whatever the KPIs are, whatever the OKRs are, whatever they are. It will guide those things so people know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you have the mentality of a one-man business,
you
cannot scale a business.
Exactly.
Where you hold all the keys.
Yes.
You hold everything.
Everything
is around you.
Yes.
You are not ready to go to the next level.
True.
When you are ready to go to the next level, you will release. Will you be disappointed? Yes. Will people steal from you?
Yes. You lose control.
Yes. But this all is part of the experience that you have to have to decide whether this thing is worth me going on to the next level.
Mm.
Or you know what? You know where I am? This thing pays my bills. I'm okay.
Mm.
And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to be a woman that was a woman of impact.
Yes.
A woman that is a force for good.
Yes.
A woman that, you know, you look back and you've built something. When I look back now and I go somewhere and people are wearing Nigerian, you know, they're wearing Ankara, they're wearing Nigeria.
Yeah.
It's almost like we birthed a whole movement.
Yes, yes.
And there's the generation of Tiffany Amber Folake Coca. There's the generation now of Dye Lab.
Yeah.
It's incredible to look back and watch this generation of Nigerian fashion designers playing at a global level.
Wow.
It is incredible.
Wow.
But if I didn't dare,
if
I didn't say we can have a Nigerian brand, Nigerian fashion brand with retail outlets, 13 retail outlets, an e-commerce platform.
Yeah. Wow.
Who paved the way?
Yes.
Who would have paved the way?
Yeah.
So I think it's incredible that I was privileged to be a part of that legacy. Mm-hmm. For me, it is... one of my life's highlights, you know. I really feel really, really humbled by that experience. So those are you put those systems in place that then guide people.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's finance. I always say that money has a language, and I'm sure that you know that better than I do.
I'm not sure.
Money, you've written a lot of books on it. That's why I say that. Money has a language.
Yes.
True. And it's important to understand the language of money, how it speaks, how it acts,
true,
and what you need to do,
yes,
so that it doesn't control you, but you control it, and you learn how to use it, and use it not only for yourself, but use it to build people.
Yeah,
it's very important. So understanding finance and its place in business is very important. Then technology.
Mm-hmm.
We have 13 retail stores across Nigeria. I don't go to any of them.
Wow.
But from the support center,
we
can see into every single location.
Yes.
We can see, we have software tools. And this is part of mental capital.
Mm-hmm.
You have tools, you have knowledge, and you have to deploy tools that enable you run your business properly.
True.
And technology affords you to do this. Very well. So we have tools we use. We have Odoo. We have ERP systems. Mm. We have cameras that are in all the locations that are located. So from the security center and the support center, you can see into every store. With the ERP solution, you know the transaction to the minute, to the second.
Yes.
You know the transactions.
Yeah.
So you have data. You have all this information that is powerful. And then again, you mine to support the growth of the business.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand why you're gathering information.
Yes. Yes.
It's not just for the sake of it. So you have technology. And the other thing that you have is, in all of this, I've said systems, processes, and technology and finance.
Pillars.
Yes. In all of this, you have to come to a place where you give back, which is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And under that giving back are also all the sustainable goals,
mm-hmm.
where you are making sure that the people you employ, they're in a healthy environment. It's a mentally healthy environment, mm-hmm. physically healthy environment. Mm-hmm. That women are treated with dignity.
Yeah.
They're pregnant. When they're pregnant, mm-hmm. you know, you give them the time that they require for all those things. And then, who are you impacting outside of that?
Yeah.
And one of the most important impacts that we do is we go to a local school. And because we make uniforms, we produce school uniforms for all the children.
Wow.
Sometimes there's 400, sometimes there's 500 of them. And we give them a brand new set of uniforms, brand new pair of shoes, and a brand new pair of socks.
Yeah.
And these are children whose uniforms are held together by safety pins, that the thread is bare. There are holes in the uniforms.
Wow.
And when you look at the images of the before and the after, if you ever feel depressed, just look at those children and just think that, you know, it was just something that was made. It was just clothing that gave them so much joy. And, you know, children can't hide joy. Their eyes, you know, big and bright and bold. Their smile, their teeth half gone, half there. You know, it's just beautiful. Their innocence and the beauty of childhood, you can see it in them. And that, for me, is fulfilling. So it's understanding the business sits on these pillars,
mm-hmm.
and then coming to a place of leadership and what is then the responsibility of leadership,
mm-hmm.
and how do you enable, you know, because entrepreneurship is a spirit.
Mm.
If you don't have that warrior mentality, if you don't have that warrior spirit, you will give up.
Yes, you will.
You will give, especially in our environment that has a lot of inconsistencies.
True.
It's very easy to give up.
True.
But, you know, honestly, what I honestly believe is, human character is formed in adversity.
Yes.
And who you become is a person that walks into a room with so much dignity and pride.
Yes.
And
yes.
I don't mean arrogant pride.
Yes, yes.
I mean pride in terms of the value that you have created. Yes. And my goal was always to be a woman that created value.
Wow.
And once you are creating value, you will always be relevant.
True.
Always.
Very true.
You know, you will always be relevant. Just make sure that you keep creating value.
Wow.
And your business has to keep creating value. And the more value you create, the more reward that you get. You know, and life, that's how money is made.
True.
Money is made by creating value.
True.
You know, that's how money is made.
Wow. Wow. This is powerful. I quickly want to address this, right? So for people who suffer from imposter syndrome, you know, I didn't go to school. I'm a mother. I have three children. I'm not sure I can do something big. I'm a young man, but my father wasn't there for me. You know, we just look down ourselves and then give ourselves permission not to do more. How do they overcome those kind of issues?
I think that is such a fantastic question. The first thing to understand is that success doesn't know your circumstance.
Hmm.
Doesn't care about your circumstance. Hmm. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Doesn't know gender either. Doesn't. And doesn't care about where you are coming from.
True.
What success is interested in is the present moment now.
Wow.
Today.
Yes.
What do you want?
Yes.
Articulate what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Something in your spirit can say, is that you writing all this nonsense? Mm-hmm. Tell it to sit down.
Mm.
That you are not interested in what it has to say today.
Yes.
Sit down with your pen and paper.
Come on.
Now.
Yes.
This very second.
Yes.
And write what you want.
Wow.
Full stop.
Wow.
Write what you want. Because if you don't know what you want, you can't go anywhere.
Mm.
Full stop.
Mm.
But if you know what you want,
yes,
you will find you will begin to pick up different things that will begin to create a path for you. You will meet somebody who will say something.
Yes.
You will meet this person who will say this. So you must understand this. And I want you to write this down wherever you are. I want you to write this down. I am not defined by my circumstances, but I have within me, as a unique expression of my Creator, the power to create my own experiences. I am not defined by my circumstances. I grew up in Ijebu-Ode. I don't have a university degree. My friends will kill me for saying this. They always make noise. Why are you telling everybody that? I don't care. It doesn't define me.
Yes.
That's not, those are not the things that define
me. Yes.
You have the power within yourself and you have the choice.
Yeah.
To either live in the past.
Yes.
And in the pain of the past.
Yes.
Or to release yourself.
Come on.
Of the pain of the past.
Yes.
And begin from where you are, where you sit right now, with a clear blank sheet of paper.
So powerful.
And say, what do I want?
So powerful.
And write down what you want.
Mm.
And begin to create mental images of those things that you want.
And it's free.
Totally.
It costs you nothing.
Totally.
To and just it is imagine.
Within,
and
it's within your control.
Yes.
Full stop.
Yeah.
For me, I think as human beings, we have been socially conditioned.
Yes.
To forget who we are
so
that we can conform and become like everybody else. And I think we must pray for an awakening.
Yes.
And that's why I admire the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
We must pray for an awakening.
Yes.
Because we must awaken the young generation.
True.
Not to look at all that is wrong,
but
look to what can I create?
Yes.
And what can I, this thing that I want to create, how will it serve people?
Yes.
Who will it serve?
Yeah.
Because there begins the creation of value. Mm-hmm. In the creation of value, money is an outcome of the creation of value.
Yes.
But if you are not creating value and you want money, it's not going to happen. It's a dream.
Wow.
And it's not even a dream that's like Joseph and his many technicolor codes. It's not even that kind of a dream.
Yeah.
It's just wishful thinking.
Yes.
You know, so I want you to understand the power of now, the power of coming into this present moment and the control that you have in this present moment and how you can begin to shape your own destiny by the things you are thinking, by the words that you speak, by the kind of things you listen to, the kind of music that you listen to, the kind of books that you read.
Yeah.
It's free. It's never been easier to change your life than now, because information is free on YouTube, on everywhere.
Yeah.
There's information. Yeah. There's information that can help you move from where you are to where you want to go.
Awesome.
But you have to make that decision and make the choice to move.
Wow.
To take one step. To begin by writing, what do I want?
Yeah.
Where do I want to go?
Yeah.
To begin.
Yeah. You were sharing earlier, before we started this production, how you think some religious leaders have conditioned young people, probably more than two, three generations now, to think that success can just happen. You can just wait and greatness just jump on you. How, if somebody is a victim of those conditions, how do you come out of that?
First stop listening to that person.
Yeah.
Just stop listening to that person straight away. That's the first thing I would advise you to do.
Mm.
Because God himself is a creator.
Yes.
And to create.
Yeah.
Creation requires energy.
Yes, you have to work.
Yes,
do something.
Creation requires action. Even though it says, he said, let there be light, and there was light.
Yes.
Yeah. But he spoke about the soil and the tilling of the soil.
Yes.
That is an action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even the spoken word is a spoken, he commanded it to action.
It was an action.
Yes.
To speak is an action.
Yes, it is. So when you sit down and somebody tells you that everything will fall down from heaven.
Yes.
Just you wait. But I'm flying in a jet. You don't have enough money for transport. You are living under subhuman conditions.
Yes.
I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
So stop listening to that person.
Yeah.
And take back your power. You have a lot more power than you know. Stop being a victim.
Yeah.
And a victim mentality is the mentality that is a complete cop-out. You have given up. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You don't want to give up. Because the act of giving up reinforces your victim mentality. I need to drink water.
Yes, please. You know, again, mental capital. You know, for me, a lot of what I'm seeing here is the willpower, the power of the mind, and how you can just, in your mind, be extremely dogged.
Absolutely. You know. But it's also, your mind is made up of your life's experiences and what you expose it to.
Yeah.
So if you expose it to the right food or the right ingredients, subliminally, it will begin to shape the way you speak and the things that you see. And then subsequently the actions you take. And that's why they say that your thinking, as a man thinketh, so is. So your thinking is your destiny. So what are you thinking? You're thinking about a stepmother that died. Yes, that treated you badly as a child. Or a father that has rotted in the grave that treated you badly as a child.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Free your soul.
Yeah.
You know, you are a unique expression of the Spirit of God on earth. Free your soul.
Please say that again. You're unique.
You are a unique expression. Wow. You're a unique
Spirit expression of God on earth.
Of the Spirit of God on earth.
Wow.
That's who you are. You know, I don't divorce my spirituality. You know, I said entrepreneurship is a spirit.
Yeah.
I'm a human spirit. In this human body.
Yes.
You know, I'm not a human spirit. I beg your pardon. Yeah. I'm a divine spirit having a human experience.
Yes.
I can't remember who said it.
Yeah.
But it's one of these old sages that said it. And I hold that very dearly because a lot is done and a lot is achieved in the spirit. A lot of wars are fought. The battle of the mind is a battle in spirit.
Yes.
And in your mind, the Japanese believe that you lose and win the battle in your mind.
True.
So it's important that you understand what you allow into your mind. And it's important that you raise the voices of encouragement in your mind.
Yes.
The voice of self-belief.
Yes.
You know, believe in yourself.
Yes.
You don't have all the answers. Yes. Nobody ever had all the answers.
Nobody.
If anybody told you they had all the answers from day one, it's a lie.
Yes. Yes.
It's a lie.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
Wow.
So you are human. You will make mistakes. It's okay. Yeah,
it's okay.
It's okay. Move Just on. Don't kill anybody. But you will make mistakes and it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, be kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to love yourself. Love who you are. But articulate who you are. Articulate who you want to be. Who you want to become. And love that person. Be kind to yourself. We can be very hard on ourselves because of the way we've been raised.
Yes.
Or because of the way we've been socialized. Yeah. So I think that we need to understand how powerful really we are.
We are.
Yes.
Okay. Let's start wrapping up. But I have so many more questions. Your favorite food?
I don't have a favorite food. I'm a moody eater.
Okay.
So I don't have a favorite food.
Favorite color?
Again, I don't have a favorite color.
Really? No red?
I love red.
Okay.
But it's not my favorite color.
It's not.
But I can wake up today and I feel very orange.
Okay.
I'm a free spirit. I don't like to be attached to
mental
things.
Mental capital.
I don't like to be attached to things.
Favorite music.
I like Naija jams, I'll be honest.
Okay.
I love Asake.
Yes.
Yes, he's my guy. I've never met him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a lot of respect and admiration for him.
For him.
Yes. And of course, Wizkid and all the others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite movie?
I don't have a favorite movie either.
Okay. One of those you like.
Which will it be? When was the last time I watched a movie? It's probably just
Okay, favorite book.
Unleashing the Giant Within. Okay. Anthony Robbins.
Ah.
It was the very first book I read that opened my mind and released me of living in the past and all that. It's a thick book.
Yes.
But it's an amazing book.
Wow.
That's one of my favorite books. The Awakening, Wayne Dyer. And of course, I have a little black book by Napoleon Hill.
Yes.
What's it
Think
called?
And Grow Rich.
Think and Grow Rich. Yes,
yes, that's a powerful. That's yes. a classic.
Yes, it
that's
is.
A I like classic.
That. I like that. I like, you know, Stoic, all those Stoic Greek philosophers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Last but not the least, what's your succession plan?
Oh, fantastic question. It's because I have a succession plan that I can sit here and be having this conversation with you. I have an amazing leadership team.
Okay.
I'm still building it. It's not fully formed yet.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to. I've released a lot to them.
Yes.
They're running. They're working well. But I'm still coaching and still taking them through. That has been a difficult journey to find the right people.
Yeah.
But I think I finally found the right set of people.
Okay.
And so we're building trust, building the relationships. Mm-hmm. That's another thing, relationship capital.
Yes.
Building those relationships and helping them understand and learn the business so that I can do other things.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's in play.
It's in play.
It's in play, yes.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
I mean, the way I can caption this interview is like Oprah's Sunday. It's like we're having a Sunday worship and we have a preacher.
I don't know that I'm a preacher, but I think every human being is a preacher.
Yeah.
Because by virtue of your life's experience, there's something you have learned that you can teach, that you can share.
Very true.
So I think for me, that's really what it is.
Yeah.
So life is a pulpit. Yeah, it is. It really is.
Life is a pulpit.
Yeah. You learn so much and you share.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Guys, that's the end of another beautiful episode of the Billionaire Habits. So we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.